Oh, Father, you're amazing. Oh, I love that word, awesome. You are awesome. Father, it's like words do not describe who you are. They're not sufficient. They fall short. We can't even comprehend your greatness. It is so incredible that the God that creates the universe, who makes the human body, knows my name, knows her name. It's incredible. You are incredible. You save us. You shelter us. You deliver us. And yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are our rod and staff to be with us. Oh God, I bless your name. I give you thanks and praise and honor. I worship you, oh Father. It is a privilege to humble myself before you. To bow down before the only begotten God is a privilege, oh Father. Yea, and those, oh Father, who know the joy of bowing before you, oh God, give you thanks and praise and glory. Hallelujah. Yea, Father. Father, I thank you for the blessings of being a part of this body of Christ. I thank you for the blessing of being a part of Vacation Bible School this past week. Being present with other believers in Jesus Christ as we opened the Word of God. As we saw our children, Father, filled with laughter and joy. Fun in the house of the Lord. Yeah, I bless your name. And oh, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I lift up this people. That among us, Father, those who are sick, different illnesses, Father, of differing degrees of seriousness, from stage 4 cancers, Father, to other illnesses. People with back issues and neck issues. So I pray in the name of Jesus for your hand of healing. You tell us, oh God, that we are healed by the stripes on your back. The back of the only begotten Son. And yea, you tell us that we pray to a God who hears our prayers. And so, oh Father, according to your will and according to your blessings and purposes in our lives, oh Father, enter in to the human circumstance and situations that are present in this room, and not only in this world, Father, but beyond, in this room, but beyond. I pray for our world leaders, oh God. I pray for the coming of the kingdom of God, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, oh God. Grant us your mercy, grant us your forgiveness. Grant us the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives, oh God. When we are lacking with what we need, oh Father, it is my prayer that you would glorify yourself by providing for our needs. That we would be dependent upon you, oh Father, for all things in life. That it would not be, oh Father, by the flesh that we do or accomplish anything, but only by the Spirit of God. Pray, oh Father, for those who were baptized today. Ah, bless your name. Holy is the name of the Lord. in the name of the only name given to man under heaven by which we are to be saved, in the name of Jesus, this prayer is offered. Amen and hallelujah. All God's people said, amen and amen and amen. Would you turn with me to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 18th verse. This morning we have we're continuing to study prayer, and as I mentioned last week, one of the struggles that I have is if I were to like do a survey among the congregation and say, do you believe that prayer is important? I dare say that every person in this room would check yes. And if we have a sermon series on prayer, I dare say there'd be anyone that'd say, yeah, we ought to pray more. And it's like, on the one hand, it's almost like we can look at prayer as almost, it's like we can look at it and know that it is important, but at the same time we can forget that it's important. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's like prayer. We know prayer is important, but yeah, okay, yeah, prayer is important. It's like in other words, let me say a blessing over my food kind of thing. Now lay me down to sleep. You know what I'm saying? It's like prayer is important. Yeah, we know it's important, but okay, let's move on to something else. Let's move on to something else that's really important. You see what I'm saying? And that's actually backwards. I'm so blessed because God's teaching. I love it when God teaches me. He teaches me all the time. And I said to the group at Vacation Bible School one night this week, I think it was Thursday night, the last night, I told the group, I said, I'm the one that's blessed because I've had to prepare for five lessons, Sunday through Thursday, however many that is. I've had to prepare for this many lessons this week. You know, I spent all afternoon every day, and I'm the one that's blessed because I had to do that. And because I had to do that, I got blessed as I opened God's Word and understood it. And it's just a blessing. And so I've been blessed also this week as I've studied for this message. I love it I gotta start talking about this now, but I love it when I can't wait to get up here to tell you what I have to say. I love that. When I'm so excited, I'm sitting in the pew, I'm thinking, oh, please, Lord, I'm gonna get up there soon. It's like, I can't wait to tell them. And so, gotta start telling you, don't I? So anyway, Ephesians 6, let me just read these two verses. And again, we're talking about the essentials of prayer. This is like part two. Next few weeks, we're going to talk about hindrances to prayer. We're going to talk about what it means to pray in the will of God. How is it that just take for healing, for example, healing. Healings are very interesting because we can pray and pray and pray, and some people are healed, and we pray and pray and pray, and some people aren't. So how do we understand that? We'll talk about those things in a few weeks. But today, to me, it's like I've got to help us to understand how essential prayer is. Because if we don't understand how essential it is, you know what? We're not going to pray for the people who need to be healed. And that will impact those people. Because the scripture teaches that there is a direct correlation between your prayers and what God does. It's amazing how it is so clear. Let me just read these verses, two verses. This is the passage where it talks about the full armor of God, putting on the full armor of God, because the struggle, the battle that we have is not against human beings, but it's a spiritual battle that is waged on a daily basis. And then in verse 18, after he tells us how we confront that spiritual battle, he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Last Sunday, I read to you the statement by the noted author on prayer, a man by the name of E.M. Bounds, or Edward McKendree Bounds. Mr. Bounds was a 19th century pastor in America, pastor, teacher, and writer. He wrote 11 books, and 9 of them were on the subject of prayer. He's considered to be an authority on prayer. And he says this statement, and I'm going to keep tagging on this statement throughout our series. He says, "The law of prayer recognizes God as God and depends upon Him to do for them what God would not do without prayer." So if you weren't here last week, I know you want me to read that again, don't you? Okay, here's what he says. "The law of prayer recognizes God as God and depends upon Him to do for them what God would not do without prayer." This week, I've added to Mr. Bounds, I've added the work of Andrew Murray, another noted writer on prayer. Andrew Murray was also a 19th century pastor, late 19th century pastor, preacher, teacher, author. It's interesting to me because Bounds died in 1913 and Andrew Murray died in 1917. Andrew Murray wrote over 240 books. The one that I think is the most beautiful and, well, the one that I've read is the one on humility. And if you have not read Andrew Murray's book on humility, I just recommend it to you highly. But here's what Andrew Murray said. "Christ actually meant prayer to be the great power by which His church should do its work. And the neglect of prayer is a great reason the church has not greater power." In his book, he talks about so many things in the church that are worthwhile, so many things in the church that are necessary, like, you know, committee meetings. And, you know, he talks about going, being in committee meetings and, you know, and you talk about this report and this group and what this one's doing and, you know, and people have certain responsibilities and they bring reports and he talks about, he says, you know, those are very legitimate needs and very legitimate purposes. He says the only problem is generally what they do is they take the place of prayer. He says, you know, we only have 24 hours in a day, and if you spend all day doing the legitimate means or the legitimate things that you need to do, and in the process you forget or the number one priority, which is prayer, then, you know, it's like we're making a mistake here. And you know, if you think about it, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, there's so many things I do. He talks about pastors. He talks about ministers, and he talks about some, you know, we go here, we visit here, we do, you know, we do this, we do that, and he says, you know, in the process, if we miss prayer, if you don't pray, how are you going to be able to do all the other things that God's called you to do? And, let me show you where how he gets that. It's the same basic thing that Bound said. It's like both of them they're on the opposite sides of the world, but the Spirit's telling them the same thing. And it's so interesting to me too, because if he's telling them, what's he telling us? Now I want you to look at, let's look at verse 18. First thing I want to talk to us about the essentials of prayer is the scripture says we're supposed to pray in the Spirit. Notice that in verse 18 it says, "With all prayer and petition," in other words, in all types of prayer, "pray in the Spirit." It says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit." Okay, now let's just talk about what it means to pray in the Spirit. Because what we saw last week, we saw this at the scripture, and I gave you numbers of different examples of this, is that in the scripture we find example after example where God obligates himself to your and my prayers. God obligates himself to your and my prayers. I don't obligate God. It's like, remember last week, I'm not sure which service I did this, but I asked somebody, I said, so, okay, Judy, suppose I asked Judy, told Judy that I was going to wash her car tomorrow. So go come to her house, pick up her car, and I was going to wash it and clean it and vacuum it. Okay. And Judy said, yeah, you can, I want you, that'd be great. That'd be great. And I said, who obligated who in that situation? See, when I say to Judy, I'm going to do such and such, I'm the one that obligates myself. All Judy's saying is okay. Okay? Well, it's the same thing when it comes to prayer. God obligates himself to our prayers when we pray in the Spirit. Okay? God obligates himself to our prayers when we pray in the Spirit. Now, you may be thinking, now, what in the world does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Does that mean that I've got to be in some state of spiritual ecstasy in order for God to hear my prayers and to obligate himself? What does it mean when it says pray in the Spirit at all times? Because see, if it means that we're supposed to have be in some kind of spiritual condition, some kind of spiritual mode, then pretty much prayer is going to be limited to the spiritual elites. If that's what that passage means. Okay? If it means that somehow I've got to have a special language with God in order to pray, okay? Then only the spiritual elites, God's only going to hear their prayers. Well, that can't be what it means. It can't be. When he says, pray in the Spirit at all times, here's what it means. The first thing it means, and we saw this last week, is that I'm a child of God. Romans 8, verse 15 says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirits that we are children of God. Okay, so to pray in the Spirit of God's going to testify to my spirit that I am a child of God. And so when I come to God in prayer, to pray in the Spirit first means, hey, I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm a son of God. I know there's a special relationship because I've placed my faith in Jesus. Secondly, here's what it means. It means that I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. Ephesians 2. Chapter 2, look over, just turn a couple pages, look at verse 18, look at what he says. Verse 18, for through him, chapter 2, for through him, that would be through Jesus, for through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. For through Jesus, we have access to God. And so when you pray, you are praying as a child of God, having placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the means whereby we have access to the Father. Without Jesus Christ, there is no guarantee that God will hear your prayer. Jesus is a way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And so when we pray in the name of Jesus. Now, Jesus even says it in John 14, 13. He says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In John 15, 16, Jesus puts it this way. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Okay? So when I pray in the name of Jesus, I'm realizing and recognizing that I have access to God only through Jesus Christ. But in Jesus Christ, God's guarantee is that he will hear that prayer. It is a guarantee. To pray in the name of Jesus would mean that I know that I'm coming under the shelter of his wings, I'm coming under his protection, just as we sang just a few moments ago. In his name, I have all of these things. And so I come in that name knowing that I'm a child of God. And I also come in the will of the Father. John, 1 John 5:14 says this. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now that's what I'm going to talk about in future weeks. I'm just going to put that on the shelf. But to pray in the Spirit does not mean that you have to have some kind of spiritual elitism relationship with God the Father. No, it means that you, number one, know that you're a son of God. You're a child of God because you place your faith in Jesus. Number two, it means you're coming in the name of Jesus. You're coming because you have your access to God through Him. He is your doorway. Unless that doorway is open, God does not obligate Himself. Doesn't mean necessarily that He's not going to hear anybody else's prayer. Now, we could do another whole sermon on that, but that's not the point today. The point for you and I to understand is God obligates Himself to our prayers in the name of Jesus. And then in the will of the Father. To pray in the Spirit means God obligates Himself to our prayers. Two, God's giving is inseparably connected with our asking. God's giving is inseparably connected to your asking. Look at what he says in the 19th verse of Ephesians 5. This is the Apostle Paul. He's asking the church at Ephesus to do this. He says, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth. The Apostle Paul says to the church, here's what I ask you to do. I ask you to pray that God will give me utterance. You know what utterance translates from in the Greek? The Greek word is logos. It's the same word that is used in John 1, where the scripture opens up and it says, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. And the Word, the Logos, was with God, and the Word was God. You know, Paul's saying, you know, when I speak, here's the Apostle Paul that was converted on the Damascus Road, who wrote more scripture than any other human being. In the New Testament, there are more books written by the Apostle Paul than any person. And what does Paul say? Paul says, pray that utterance, the word may be given to me so that when I open my mouth, to open my mouth with a sense of speaking for the Lord. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, this is what I need you to do. I need you to pray and ask God to send down His Spirit to give me a word from the Lord. Okay? In other words, Paul's utterance was connected to the prayers of the people. That's how he saw it. It's no different for you and for me. God has chosen to connect His movement in your life and in my life to our asking. So you don't pray very often? And you wonder why you don't sense the Spirit of God in your life? There is a connection. So you're too busy, and you know you're doing this and you're doing that, and you mean to and intend to, but you just never get around to it, or you say, well, you know what, I'm gonna let the deacons pray about this, or I'm gonna let Pastor Kip pray about this. That's not what he says. He says, church, here's what I ask you to do. See, I ask you to pray to God so that God will give me utterance. Don't pray, then no utterance. Whoa. Oh, come on, Pastor Skip, that can't be. Well, let's see. Look at Matthew 7:7. Come on, let me hear them pages, those pages turning. Matthew 7:7. Let's see what he says here. You need to keep your finger back there in Ephesians 5. Look, listen to this. Ask. And what? Ask, and it shall be given. So if I don't ask, it won't be given. Asking and giving are inseparably connected. Ask, and it shall be given. God's giving, God has chosen to obligate himself when we ask. Now look over at Matthew 6. Look at verse number 7. No, verse 7 is good. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition, as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Okay, one thing we need to make sure we understand is what he's not saying is that you got to ask and use a lot of words. He's not saying that what he wants us to do is have all these long prayers, although he's not saying that that's wrong. He's saying, hey, you know what? It's not the number of words that you give me. It's whether or not you give me words. See? And notice this, what he says in the 8th verse. He says, therefore, do not be like them, that would be the Gentiles, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, isn't this an interesting point? God knows everything you need before you ask him. So why does he tell you to ask him if he already knows what we need? Because his giving is connected with your asking, not connected with his knowledge. It could mean nothing else. Well, you say, well, Pastor Skip, I'm not sure how to pray. Do you? Can you talk? Are you an infant? Do you have words? Then you can pray. I mean, you know, it's sort of like falling off a log if you think about it. You talk to your wife, your husband, your child, your daughter, your friend. You talk to them. Can you not talk to God? Because that's what prayer is. You say, well, I don't know if he hears me. Then you're not praying in the Spirit, are you? See, remember, praying in the Spirit says, number one, I'm a child of God. Number two, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. Number three, I'm going to pray in the will of Jesus. So I'm going to pray in the Spirit. You don't have to have a seminary degree to get those first three points. Are you born again? Do you come through Jesus? Do you pray in the will of Jesus? Boom! He will hear. He will. So if you don't ask, you won't receive. Now, let me back up. Does that mean God can never act without a prayer? Well, no, it doesn't mean that. Because, for example, Abraham was called out of his home country to come to the land of Canaan, and the scripture has no prayer being offered by Abraham before that call of God came. So, but that would be the exception. It doesn't mean God can't. It means he probably won't. But he's not. God can do what, remember what, how we said Bounds' statement was, God is God. Don't ever think you can put God in your box. Okay? Because if you can put God in your box, then he ain't God. You know what James 4 says? Here's what James 4 says. And I'm going to pull out just part of the verse because we're going to cover James 4 in one of the future sermons. It says, James 4 verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. Just comes right out and says it. You do not have because you do not ask. Well, you say, well, you know, Pastor, I never have. What am I going to do with that? You want some of God? You want to know God? Ask him. Ask him to give you some of himself. You say, you can't quite get this thing about Jesus and Jesus being the only way? And you want to understand, but you can't seem to get it? Well, ask him. Just ask him. See, just ask him. Listen, in Matthew 26, let me tell you what happens in Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's asked Simon Peter, James, and John to leave the group, and they're praying. He says, "Come with me and pray with me." And what happens is that then Jesus has the three of them. He leaves the three of them, and he departs just a little bit further away. And it's like they're part of the group, but they're separate. And it's like Jesus is going one-on-one with God, and Simon Peter, James, and John are there like to support him in prayer. But what happens is they fall asleep. They fall asleep. Jesus says, pray. He comes to me, he says, "Hey, guys, you need to pray. You need to pray that you will not enter into temptation." Wait a minute. Why, is it God's will that I sin? Well, of course not. But he says to Simon Peter, he says, "Pray that you will not enter into temptation." Well, Simon Peter fell asleep. Well, you remember what happened to Simon Peter? He was tempted to deny Christ three times, and he did on all three. He entered into temptation. How come? Well, he was tired. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Gibb. I mean, are you saying that God didn't recognize that we get tired? Well, no, I'm not saying that. God does recognize that we get tired. But we have to understand something. The reason is really irrelevant, isn't it? If I choose not to, or I never get around to it, or I go to sleep, I'm still not praying that I not enter into temptation, right? You see? And so Simon Peter entered into temptation, and he stumbled. And you know what Jesus then says? You know what he says? Jesus says, in Luke 22, we have an addition to what's going on. And in Luke 22, you know what Scripture says? Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat." Ooh, oh boy. Sift me. I don't want to be sifted like wheat, would you? This is what Jesus says. "Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat." And then Jesus says something very interesting. He says, "But I have prayed for you." You know why Satan didn't sift him like wheat? Because Jesus asked. And the Scripture then says that Jesus said, "And when you turn, strengthen your brothers." Jesus' prayer is what caused Simon Peter to turn back to God. Have you ever thought that your prayers are what causes believers who have fallen off the wagon, so to speak? Have you ever seen your prayers as the means whereby the person returns to God? So it doesn't matter if you don't pray. How is that possible? Because had Jesus not prayed for Peter, Satan would have had nothing that stood against him, and Simon would have been sifted like wheat. How many times have you and I been sifted like wheat because we have chosen not to pray because we're too tired or whatever it is, or we haven't asked anybody else to pray for us? In Hosea 14, I could give you verse after verse after verse. In Hosea 14, verse 2, listen to what the Scripture says. "Take words with you to the Lord. Take words with you to the Lord and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously that we may present the fruit of our lips." Take words with you. It's like, wait. Take work. God has chosen to obligate himself to your words. He's chosen to do that. Okay, next. This is good. You better stay with me. Let's stand up. Come on. I see some eyes closing. Stand up. Come on. My goodness gracious, I'm talking to you about this subject and how essential it is, and I got people sleeping on me. I'll tell you. I don't know if that says something more about me or about what you did last night. I don't know. Now, I tell you what, I got about 1 hour sleep last night. You know what? It's so funny because the Lord gets me so excited about what I'm going to talk about you. I go to bed on Saturday night and I cannot sleep for nothing. Nothing. So if I fall asleep, I give you permission, but I'm not going to fall asleep when I'm standing up here. I just tell you that. Okay? Okay, you can sit back down. Here's the next thing. Prayer prays down the power and the blessings of the Spirit. You got that one? This is what Andrew Murray says. Prayer prays down the blessings and the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians 6 again, verse 19. Here's what he says. Here's where we get that. Go to Colossians. Go to Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Colossians, look at chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Okay, look at what he says in chapter 4, verse 3. Verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word. That God may open up to us a door for the word. Devote yourself to prayer, that God may open up a door. Okay? Here's what he's saying. That in your prayers, what happens is God, when we pray down the power of the Holy Spirit and we pray down blessings upon people. Do you realize? Now come with me. Do you realize that God has given you the power to bless people through your prayers? Well, you say, there's nothing special about me, Pastor Kip. What do you mean God's given me the power? God says, if you ask, you will receive. So then let's suppose I'm asking for Kenny to be blessed. And I'm asking in the Spirit. I believe I'm a son of God. I believe in the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus and His blood. And I believe that He answers prayer in His will. So I'm going to pray that God will bless Kenny. What do you think happened to Jack 1 year ago? And why he's sitting in that pew right now and he's just been awarded the best job he's ever had in his life 2 weeks ago? Because somebody prayed the blessings of God upon him. You have that authority. God's given it to you. He says, devote yourself to prayer, that God will open a doorway to us. Okay? You know what? It's like this church. It's like the expansion of this church. It's like the kingdom of God in this church. How do we reach people for God? But except by praying. God, open a doorway that your spirit might move in this direction. You see what we're saying? He's praying. He says, pray to God. There's the power. Pray that God, by His power, will send His Spirit and He will open a door. If prayer is not necessary, how come Paul says, in order for that door to be opened, you got to pray and then it'll be opened? It's like this. Friday, I ran like 8 miles Friday morning. And here's what I've learned about running. If I'm going to run for longer than an hour, I've learned that unless I have some kind of energy drink, some kind of Gatorade drink, okay, I'm going to crash and burn. I'm not going to make it. Okay, I'm going to stop. In other words, I'm going to start walking. I've learned if I'm going to run beyond an hour, I got to have my Gatorade. I got to have my power Gatorade. I got to have an energy bar. Okay. And so what I'll do is I'll just take my Gatorade with me. And along the way, I'll be guzzling that Gatorade. But you know what? I've learned that I got to have a supplement. I got to have a supplement in order for me to continue running and running and running and picking one foot up. And what is my point? You know what the Holy Spirit's like? It's like my Gatorade. Except the only difference is my Gatorade is a supplement. The Holy Spirit's not a supplement. He's an either or. If you pray in the Spirit, asking God for the power of the Holy Spirit, He will give it. And it's like you and I can choose, like whether you're a musician standing up here, whether you're leading in Bible school, whether you're preaching a sermon on a Sunday morning, you can choose to do it all by yourself, all by your lonesome. You can make that choice. He'll let you do that. Now you may be gifted enough to do that, but I certainly can't. I can tell you that unless the Spirit of God is going to open my mouth and give me utterance. To be honest with you, I'll just tell you. If the Lord is not going to give me the Spirit, let me go back and be a CPA and make some money. But if you give me the Spirit of God, ain't nothing like that. Ain't nothing like it. Yes, I do. Exodus 17, let me tell you what happens. It's just unbelievable. The people of Israel have just been released from slavery. Okay? They're headed out of town, so to speak. And along the road, guess what? The Amalekites show up. And the Amalekites, of course, they're enemies. And here's what Moses does. He sends Joshua to lead the band of Israelites against the Amalekites. And then he says, Moses and Hur and Aaron and I are going to go up on the top of the mountain. We're going to watch the battle. And I'm going to pray. And Moses lifts his hands to pray. You know what the scripture says? Every time Moses let his hands down, the Amalekites prevailed. When he lifted his hands back up, the Israelites prevailed. What in the world is God trying to teach us? As long as Moses' hands are up, he's praying. Put his hands down, he's not praying. And so what happens is there is a correlation between his praying and his not praying. So you know what he does? I love this, see, because this shows the creativity that God's people need to have in order to follow and obey his word and his will when we're tired. Okay? You know what they do? One man holds one arm and the other man holds the other arm. What if the person sitting next to you, every time you just start to drag off, he says, Eagle, come on, man, you got it. You understand what I'm saying? It's like there is a significance to you being in the Spirit, lifting your prayers to the Lord. That's right, I'm telling you. Listen to this in 1 Timothy, okay? Here's what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. Not just the ones you know. All men. See, I urge that you pray for on behalf of all men. Then he says, for kings and all who are in authority. Oh, you say you're a Republican. And you don't want to pray for those Democrats. I got news for you. God's not a Democrat and he's not a Republican. Amen. Amen. He says, pray for those in authority. Well, how come? You know, is the scripture telling me that what I need to do is pray that the Lord will prosper our president and he'll have a bigger retirement whenever he retires? Is that what this is all about? No. He tells you why. He says, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. You know what he's saying? Pray for those in authority. Why? Because you know what? I want you to live in peace. It's for your benefit, he says. It's for your benefit for you to pray for those in authority. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. God desires all men to be saved. Well, how are they saved? By your prayers. He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, you know, when he says therefore, you better watch out, something big's coming. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. I want the men in every place to pray. Does that mean that the women aren't supposed to pray? Of course not. But he said, I want the men to pray. He didn't say, I want the men to get together and talk about the Baltimore Orioles or talk about the Baltimore Ravens. Although those are great things to talk about, particularly after last night's game. Great things to talk about. But I want the men to lift up hands like Moses and pray. And what if we don't? There'll be a consequence. So we wonder, as Andrew Murray says, why the church is weak. Why the church is losing its influence. Why? Okay. Lastly. It matters how you pray. Yep. It matters how you pray. Back then, that verse in Ephesians 6, remember what it said? It says, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert. You know what that reminds me of? Be on the alert. When I'm reading this and I'm thinking about what the Lord wants me to tell you, you know, here's what the Lord brought to my mind. We used to have a dog named Tucker. This is a big lab. Okay, this dog was like, if there's such a thing as a dog's dog, this was a dog's dog. He was a big, big lab, and he was strong. He's stronger than an ox, okay? You know, sometimes what would happen is Tucker would all of a sudden he'd just start looking around. I don't have any idea why. He'd just looking around. You know, it's like something's out there. What is it? I don't know. It's like, all of a sudden, he'd go into alert mode. You ever wonder what would happen if the body of Christ, whenever it's time to pray, it's time to pray about it. Let's go pray. That's what he's... take it and run with it. He says, I want you at all times to be on the alert. Be on the alert. And sleeping? Taking a break? Oh, we're going to all take a break. You know, Jesus took a break. You know, if you think that what I'm preaching about here today is for you to add something to your list. No. I'm asking you to reprioritize it. Because you know what? I don't know about you, but I only got 24 hours in my day. But he says, what I'm to do is I'm supposed to be on the alert. For where there is a need that God wants me, remember, God wants me to ask him to give the power. Remember the illustration we used last week about the generator? Remember, God is like the generator. He's a power source. Okay? And you know what? You and I are like, we're like the extension cord. We plug it in. Prayer is like the extension cord. We plug it into the generator. And now the generator provides power down the extension cord to light that refrigerator. The object of prayer is only reached by God when we connect prayer to God. Okay? So we are on the alert. On the alert, I'm looking for where God wants me to pray. He says, the how is, I want you to be on the alert. Then he says, be on the alert with all perseverance. What does it mean to persevere? That means keep on asking, doesn't it? Well, I thought we were supposed to just pray once. Well, where'd you get that? Who told you that? Because it's not in Scripture. Actually, back then in Matthew 7, where it says, ask and it shall be given, if you were to look at the actual Greek, it would say, keep on asking and it will be given. That's what it's saying. Perseverance means, hey, you know what? I'm going to keep praying about it. I'm going to keep praying about it. Why am I going to keep praying about it? Because God says to keep praying about it. Well, be on the alert. Here's what he says in Psalm 62:8. He says, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. Pour out your heart. God is a refuge for us. Listen to what he says in Lamentations 2, verse 19. Arise, cry aloud in the night. At the beginning of the night watches, pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the life of your little ones. You know, mama's what it's saying. Pour out your heart for your little ones. Be on the alert. Persevere. You know why my sons have beautiful wives and godly wives? Because my wife would not stop praying for them. That's why. Joel 1:14. Consecrate a fast. Proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Cry out. Pour out your heart. It matters how we come. As an afterthought, it's like, oh, I'm supposed to pray for my food, so let's just, you know, whatever. No. It's like our heart throb. Our heart throb. Yeah. May prayer be our heart throb. You imagine what our prayers could do to bring down the power and the blessings of God among us. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you answer prayer. What an amazing God you are. Oh, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, as a Son of God, I pray that you would open the hearts and the minds of those who are gathered to receive what God has chosen to say today. We will give you praise. Heads bowed and eyes closed. God's spoken to you in some way today. Here's what you can do. You can sort of be like Simon Peter and just stay in the pew. Or you can do what Christ said. Pray about it. Ask. It shall be given. How would you do that? Just make your way to the front. Kneel at the front of the church. Just kneel.
Say, God, I humble myself before you. Come before you. Give you my heart. Pour out my heart to you today. You let God take care of the rest.
Yeah, Father, I bless your name. In the name of Jesus, this prayer is offered. Amen. Hallelujah.
Our musicians will come now to lead us in our closing.